Cause that's the bottom line.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Bottom Line Lexington Podcast. On today's show, part two of our talk with Dan Reefer of Fox 56. He's got not one but two football shows coming up this fall, starting August 23rd on Fox 56. And if you want the lowdown of those, we spend a few minutes talking about that on part one of this podcast. But for now, part two with Dan Reefer. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter at DRIEFFER. So let's get to it. Part two with Dan Reefer. All right, we're here with the great Dan Reefer. Basketball season is approaching, whether we like it or not, although Big Blue Nation is worried about football now, apparently, these days. We're sitting here and the schedule, the non-conference schedule for the University of Kentucky came out. And we've got the first game of the season. They'll play Michigan State. But I'm going to list these seven cupcakes we got coming up. Eastern Kentucky, Evansville, Utah Valley, Mount St. Mary's, Lamar, UAB, and Fairleigh Dickinson. Who are these clowns? Yeah. And why is Calipari scheduling these cupcakes so early in the season? Last year, we called them the Cupcake Seven. This year, we're going to call them the exact same thing, the Cupcake Seven, after that first big game, just to get the big game out of the way. Then they kind of sneak these little games in here. What is the fan base going to say to a schedule like this?
Well, I don't think the fan base is going to like it, but Calipari is convinced this is, I'm doing it this way, whether you like it or not. And his whole thing is to try to sell the fan base on, it's all about March. Everything I do is about March. So if we have to play cupcakes early on, it's because I'm building towards March. And when I've got new players and a new team every single season, this is the way I've got to do it. And it's the same way with his wanting to play a Michigan State at a neutral site, wanting to play, oh, they got North Carolina and Vegas or something this year, another neutral site game.
Utah and Ohio State. We'll get to that in a second.
Won't play Indiana at home. Got to play them at a neutral site if you want to revive that series. He just doesn't want to play these home and homes in the hostile environments against, you know, teams like in Indiana because he doesn't believe that that's what they're going to face in the tournament. And so he's laid this plan out there, and he's followed it, and he does it year after year, and I don't think it's fair to the fans. I think a home-and-home with North Carolina, a home-and-home with a Kansas, a home-and-home with an Indiana is owed to the fan base that supports you with all they've got. I really do. They want to know why Rupp Arena doesn't always sell out. Well, because nobody wants to come out and see Fairleigh Dickinson, even at a discounted price of, you know, $40 a ticket. By the time you take a family of four at that price and then go to the concession stands, and the concession prices are still out of control at Rupp Arena and Kroger Field. They're not anything family friendly. I mean, $4 for a bottle of water, that's not friendly anywhere. That's still fleecing me because I can't get a bottle of water anywhere but right here, right now. So I don't think it's fair to the fans. I completely understand where John Calipari is coming from, but he's a coach. And he's trying to earn his paycheck for him and for these players and for what he believes. But what the fans don't get are the good games on the schedule anymore. They just don't get those quality games. You can point to the SEC schedule and say that those home games are worth it. But no, when North Carolina came in there in 2010 with John Wall and DeMar, that right there. For instance, a fan who has season tickets can sell the tickets to that one game and pay for the rest of their season. That's the kind of game that the UK fan deserves. It's a blue blood program that deserves those big time kind of games. Well, I love what Roy Williams does when he takes his team to like Davidson and plays. I mean, come on.
What was the biggest game at Rupp Arena last year? Kansas.
Yeah.
When Kansas came here. Right. Now you can say Tennessee all you want, but it was still when Kansas, because right, there was that buzz. Ooh, yeah. This is the mysterious Kansas from the Big 12. We don't see them often. Ooh. You know, yeah. But that was the buzz for that. That was huge around here. Kansas really wasn't on their game as much as Tennessee was, but there was still a fever, and, you know, ESPN Game Day was here, all that big stuff. There's still, for these big home games, they'll still draw a crowd. But I'm telling you right now, the Cupcake 7 here, you're going to see a lot of empty seats. I don't care how many seats they've taken out of that place. These fans are not going to pay good money, and especially if the football team's competing like last year, why should we go watch these crappy games at home when we could just wait till Saturday and go see Kentucky play Georgia?
Yeah. Look, it's a decision that I make when I'm offered tickets or, you know, see that tickets are available, that okay, do I want to spend the time to go down there and find the parking?
Oh,
and then
stop. You're milking that Fox 56 media pass for everything it's worth. Don't fool us, Reefer. We already know what you're about.
No, even with the kids, I mean, I don't want to, you know, okay, it's fun to go to a game. And like for football games, I'll take them to, you know, an Eastern Michigan game or something because it's lighter on the crowd and the kids got a little bit more freedom to roam around. I think we went to, I don't remember who we even saw last year. They played Utah at home last year, I feel like.
Yes, they did.
We went to that game. So, I mean, that was a decent crowd for that game, but it wasn't what a North Carolina would be or something like that. So, you know, to go take them to see, a Fairleigh Dickinson, sure, they'll be excited just to go to the game, but it's not that memorable experience where they'll, you know, the Kansas versus Kentucky game. And so when you can sit at home and watch that in front of your own TV and not pay the prices that you would have to pay for the food and drink that you want, and then you don't have to go out and try to find parking and pay for parking, and you cut that kind of time off of the commute as well, it's just more valuable to me, unless it is the North Carolina, the Kansas, that big game. Like Georgia Tech, they announced that game.
Yeah, and everything I've read today about Georgia Tech, who left the SEC, I had to write this down, left the SEC in 1964. That doesn't matter anymore. Why do you have to tell me that Georgia Tech left the SEC 55 years ago?
Right.
Why does that even matter? I digress.
I don't know how it's relevant.
I'm going to give you a lock right now, Dan Reed.
Okay.
I'm trying to help you win some money. I don't think I helped you with football because you went off on UK over 6.5 wins. You're on your own there, brother. But I'm going to tell you right now. You ever heard of the Vegas flu?
The Vegas flu.
The Vegas flu. I'm going to teach you something here on the bottom line. You know the Vegas Golden Knights, the hockey team?
Right.
They went on a stretch, especially in their first season, that when a visiting team would come to town and they had a day off or 2 days off sitting in Vegas, they lived it up. You know, these are hockey players. They go out and live it up. So then they got to actually play a hockey game. Then the Vegas Golden Knights would go out and beat the crap out of them. That's how they were so great at home their first year. Kentucky plays a game in Las Vegas against Utah on the December 18th. And they stay there, and then they play another game on December 21st against Ohio State.
Oh, I see where you're going here.
So what are you doing between the 18th and the 21st, especially if you're a UK basketball player, first time in Vegas probably got a few dollars in your pocket. We won't get into how you got those.
Oh.
But if you're sitting there doing that, you got a couple days away from Vegas, you may not be at your top 100% game strength coming into that second game. So look at that Ohio State schedule. See what they're playing or who they're playing the few days before December 21st when they're in Vegas. If they're still on a different schedule and they just go out there day of or day before or whatever, Vegas flu, Dan Reefer. I'm here to tell you right now, I would take Ohio State blind against the spread in that one. Because there were managers of bars out in Vegas who were calling certain hockey teams the Mickey Mantles. Because they would go out the next day all hungover and drunk and still get – the only teams that could win were just people like Mickey Mantle who used to go out for the Yankees and get hungover and drunk off his tail. And then the next day hit two home runs like it was nothing. There you go. The Vegas flu, Dan Reefer. I'm here to help you.
I've heard of the Los Angeles flu, the Miami flu when it comes to some of the pro teams, especially NBA teams. So I don't think I've heard it called the flu, but I hadn't heard of the Vegas flu. But
these teams that come to town, they get in a little trouble, yes.
When you play on the 18th and the 21st and you're staying in Vegas in between, and you're between the ages of 18 and 21 years old.
You're going to stay in your room and watch TV the whole time? Really? Are you?
Yeah, oh, exactly. It could be that it has an effect
they're
on that game against Ohio State.
They're going to have to be like Mickey Mantle against Ohio State, play with a little. They'll have to rally, if you know what I mean.
I don't even know where Ohio State is preseason, as far as they go.
Do they have a decent team?
Doesn't matter.
If Kentucky's been out there for 5 days, I'll take Ohio State right now. We talked about fan apathy. Mm-hmm. Teams, fans don't want to show up for these games. Are we in the lather, rinse, repeat mode for Calipari? Because here we go. They had the second best recruiting class coming into this year. Now they're preseason top three in every poll. Is it still going to be the same old story for Kentucky? That's why the fans don't want to show up. Because, you know, I talk about it all the time. There are three things better in the 80s than they are today. Professional wrestling, music, college basketball. The reason why college basketball was better in the 80s is because we knew the players. Mm-hmm. Kenny Skywalker
played here for 25 years, it felt like, in the 80s. And you knew everything about these players.
Yeah.
Now, one and done, the revolving door, people come in and out. By March, you're just now figuring out who these kids are. You're just now saying, okay, I know this guy, I know that guy. But it takes a while, especially when the whole team turns over. Do you think the fan apathy will continue this year? Because let's just face it, Kentucky is the same as they always were, top recruiting class and the top three preseason poll.
Yeah, it's put so much pressure on each individual season. This is your one shot. And if you don't get this shot, there's a new shot next year. Because there's none of this same guys coming back. Oh, you get this guy back. If he's really good, he's not coming back. You don't get that anymore. There's definitely a disconnect there, I think. I think it is just rinse and repeat. It's going to be the same thing. You're going to hear the same things that we're young. It takes time. Enjoy the process. All those things that you've been hearing from Calipari. It is the same old thing. I do think people are getting tired of it. You know, Kyle Massey recently made some comments to an Indianapolis radio station. Yeah. So that exists. It's existed. I remember the De'Aaron Fox, Bam Adebayo, Malik Monk team. That team had so much potential, and sometimes they would reach it, and sometimes they'd fall short of it. And it's all part of the learning process. The reality is, yes, they are young, and that's how it goes. Like, in real life, that's how it goes. But the fans, it's one shot. You got to get it done. And it doesn't look like you care. It doesn't look like you care. You play here for one season, you're moving on to the NBA. All you're worried about is the NBA. What do you care about Kentucky and winning games? What do you care about beating Louisville? Do you care if we beat Tennessee, win the SEC? You don't care. That's the way the fan starts feeling. Of course, at the end of that season, De'Aaron Fox and Bam Adebayo crying in the locker room, we care, man, to say we don't care. Because they're 18-year-old kids. They're fresh out of high school, and all this is thrown on them to win a championship this year. And look, when you get new kids together, it takes time. That's the reality, but we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. If that's the reality, then find another way to get it done, because we want championships.
That's the way the fan base is. They don't really care. As long as they get the number one recruiting class and win national championships, that's really all they care about around here. And I'll argue they'd rather have the number one recruiting class than the national championship sometimes. But that's another story for another day. I honestly think they'd rather have the recruiting class because it's like, oh, we're winning this year, but look what we got coming in next year.
Yeah, you know, you hear that talk, yeah. You do hear some of that talk already looking ahead.
Calipari in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
When he gets to a certain level, when he gets to the Elite Eight, he's not very good. 7-6 straight up, 4-9 against the point spread.
Mm-hmm.
He's lost 8 times at Kentucky in the tournament. 7 of those times, he was favored to win. And let's not even talk about when he was at Memphis and had a 9-point lead with 2 minutes to go. When somebody right. might have had a couple of dollars on Memphis that night and still remembers that very well. Neither here nor there. Imaginary money, of course, that's all we're talking about. So is Calipari, when he gets to a certain level of the tournament, disappointment or no?
Oh, yeah, I think so, without a doubt. I think given the talent that he's had over the years, the opportunities he's had, he's been there. He's been in the dance. He's been in that spot to get there.
But he's always favored. Because, I mean, when Calipari's a dog in the tournament, he's tough.
Yeah.
He's 4-0-1 against the spread, and the one that they pushed was that 2-point loss to North Carolina, that game you were talking about a couple years ago. But every time he's been a dog in the tournament, covers and wins straight up. So anytime you see Calipari as a dog in the tournament, I'm on him full board. But, I mean, you have to argue that he has been a disappointment compared to especially when you see these preseason polls where he's always top 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. And they never live – well, I don't say never, but they rarely live up to that.
Yeah, they don't get to that every single year because of the recruiting class. They don't – and that's part of managing the expectation. But, I mean, overall, as far as where he gets to, I don't think that's a disappointment. But the disappointment comes in not finishing. And I don't – he probably wouldn't admit this publicly, but I think he's disappointed too in that he's had these chances. Like, there is no way – that they should have lost to West Virginia. Kentucky should not have lost that game to West Virginia in the Elite Eight where you had DeMarc. At the end of the game, DeMarcus Cousins is on the bench because Bob Huggins has taken him away. He is completely ineffective. DeMarcus Cousins doesn't mean anything in this game.
1-3-1 zone. I remember that well, yes.
You should have been able to find a way. Well, Calipari will say, well, we go for 0 for 30 from 3. Well, they're going to lose. Well, don't shoot 33s then. Here's what I think is his... I don't know if you call it a weakness or it's just his philosophy. He believes in it. He's not going to change it. Is he just leaves it up to the players. He puts these concepts in their head about how it should go, what it should do. Here are the basic concepts that we play with. how we want to play. Here's some set things here or there. But essentially, I need you to make a play. And that's what it all comes down to. Players making plays. And sometimes he puts too much trust in that and it doesn't work out. And that's my thought on what's happened. You take the Connecticut game where they shut down UK's guards in the, I think it was the national championship I'm thinking of. And the defense just ate them alive and never had an answer for it. Never, ever found an answer for it. At some point, you've got to say, okay, I have all these years of basketball experience. I can see what's going on. Let's do this instead. Just some kind of adjustment. So whereas Tubby Smith was always credited for his in-game adjustments that he would make, that I don't see that out of Calipari. I don't see a lot of the in-game adjustments. Of course, I've never coached basketball in my life, but it's no secret his record in the Elite Eight. And people were up in arms over it, and there were a lot of people defending his record, and I'll be one who defends it as well. Would you rather lose in the round of 32 and never even get to the chance to the point where a basket here or there and you're in the Final Four? If you get there, the ball's going to bounce your way one time or another. So I'd rather be in that position than not. And Kentucky's been in that position more times than not under Calipari than they have been, you know, in the years under Tubby.
Well, you may have never coached basketball, but I played a lot of NBA Jam in my day.
Well, that there you go.
Yeah, he's on fire. Yes. Boom shakalaka. So I know basketball. I don't care what you're talking about. A big player coming up this year, Ashton Hagans.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the Auburn game? You saw the Auburn game, didn't you?
Yeah.
They were begging him to shoot the basketball in that game.
Oh, yeah.
So you can think overnight he could, oh, well, he's improving his shot. Well, you know what? Sometimes, a lot of times, these players can't just get a 1 year off and go to the gym all summer, and then all of a sudden you're a three-point shooter. He was third last year on this team in minutes played, eighth in player efficiency rating on the team. He shot 27% three-pointers, and let's just face it, Quade Green, who left town, had better stats than he did. So are we supposed to believe that this guy who Auburn was literally saying, go ahead, dude, shoot the ball? Are we supposed to believe he's supposed to carry this team next year?
I really like him in the role of, yes, as the leader, as the point guard, but not as a shooter. I don't really want to see him shoot the ball, and I want Kentucky to find other guys to shoot it. I think the instruction to him should be, don't shoot it if you're open. You know, find somebody else, run other plays, find other guys to get open. You can do that. DeAndre Liggins played for Kentucky years ago I forget that he took one crucial shot that they left it to him and he missed it. And I think it was against Notre Dame in the NIT year under Billy Gillespie. But anyway.
NIT shots are not big shots, okay? Not around here, they're not. So let's, you know, it's only a big shot to the gamblers. That's basically all it's a big shot.
I could be wrong. It might be another game. I just remember him missing a shot and somebody. Yeah, I feel like Calipari was the one who was defending the shot. We left it in DeAndre Liggins' hands. So Calipari is probably going to let Ashton Hagans shoot and tell him he should take open shots. But my feeling is because they've gotten recruits who are reported to be better shooters, that the role for shots from outside will come from other guys, and maybe he'll pull back a little bit on allowing Ashton Hagans to put it up. But I love Ashton Hagans' ability to drive, to penetrate, and his defensive energy and the way he's a pest. I just think he's a guy you want on the floor most of the time.
My good friend Bobby the Brain Heater would say,
oh, there you go.
A friend in need is a pest. So there you go. You heard it from Dan Reefer first. You mentioned Kyle Macy earlier.
Yeah.
Do you agree with what he said?
Let me think about the 3 points. The Indiana series, yes, I think he should go play that home and home.
I don't think we worried about the Indiana series.
Yeah.
That's not coming back anytime soon. We're worried about his cheap comments. Shots on Kyle, yes.
Well, his comments were that, let me remember here, that he didn't like Kentucky being a training ground for the NBA.
And he's not welcome at practice.
He said he's not welcome at practice. I don't know where that stems from, maybe because he said it to Calipari publicly. Did he also say he didn't like the schedule, that Kentucky's not scheduling? He said something about the home and homes, not just Indiana, but just home and homes in general.
It's about the neutral site games, yes.
Yeah.
About that's the only big games they have. But we're more focused on the drama.
Yeah.
The fact that he's not welcome at practice. I see both sides, but I want to hear your opinion, Dan Reefer.
Well, the way he put it didn't seem to me that he was – he said, I used to go to practice and I could come anytime I wanted, but I don't know if that's the case anymore. So I'm not sure if I feel like if he were to say, I'd like to come to practice, that Calipari would say no. I don't know if that's what he means or if he means, I don't have the desire, so I don't go. Either way, look, Kyle Macy's being asked his opinion. And I think if he has that opinion, there's nothing wrong with putting that opinion out there. And I'm sure there are some fans that line up behind that opinion and like some of the things that he said. So I have no problem with it. I don't think just because he is a former Kentucky All-American that he can't be critical of Calipari. That's one of the things I see in Calipari for years. He doesn't care for anyone who's critical of him. He does not. If you're critical of him, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution getting us to where we're going. You're a bit of an enemy of mine. But he uses that as fuel, no doubt. But you'll see in these press conferences, one of the few people that hold Calipari accountable time and time again is Jerry Tipton. And the one person that Calipari will rib at every shot he gets at a press conference in public is Jerry Tipton. It's fun playfulness, but he's giving it to him. And Tipton knows that he's getting it. Why does he do that? Because he holds him accountable. The rest of the people are most, not all of them, but there's a lot of supporting penmanship and stuff going on behind what Calipari says. So I've even heard Calipari say something that is incorrect and it be reported right back as if it was fact because that person never looked to see if that's what he said. So for Kyle Macy to come out and be critical of him, I don't understand why people are, you know, all up in arms over it. He makes some valid points. He's also coming across as crotchety old guy.
Get off my lawn.
Yeah.
That guy.
The world of college basketball has changed. You can't stop it. You're not. What do you want them to do? If Calipari did it the other way and didn't go after the best players in America and tried to get guys that he thought he could work on that might stay a few years, they would complain about that. You know, that's what Tubby Smith did. You didn't like that. You got tired of that. So, I don't know. The world's changed a little bit, and Kyle Macy's not happy about it.
Well, I understand Calipari having an issue with the guy at the Herald Leader. I have an issue with Mark Story because he refuses to come on this podcast. Yet he always advertises about the fact he's going on other radio shows. And in fact, I saw a couple weeks ago he went on a show with somebody called Big Biscuit. Yet he refuses to come on the Bottom Line. So yes, we don't like Mark's. Well, it's not that we don't like Mark Story. We just consider him our nemesis because he has refused every invitation to come on this show is out there. So I understand that.
I hate to hear that. I do like Mark.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. Yeah. He just doesn't want to be on this show, and that's fine with me. I've called him out on every show I've ever done. I might have called him a clown for saying Kentucky would have won 8 football games last year. That might have been where all this started. But that's neither here nor there. He was proven right. I hate to say that. Okay. But the point is, I went to Kyle Macy's basketball camp when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I might have been a Kyle Macy guy. I'm not with him on all this stuff. I mean, do you really have to go to practice? I mean, what's the big deal?
Right.
I mean,
Doesn't matter whether you...
Yeah.
They weren't invited into practices before. I mean, from my understanding, it wasn't open like that before. Yeah. Like, Calipari's opened it up a little bit more. And if you're critical of him, he has every right to say, don't come over here. But I also have no problem with Kyle Macy saying whatever he wants. He could go, if he's got an opinion on it, fine if he doesn't like it. There's plenty of fans I've heard from that agree with some of the things he's saying.
It's the end of July, so you're looking for things to talk about right, in this market especially.
Right.
Michigan State, 7-1 to win the national championship. Duke and Kentucky right now, 8-1 to win the national championship.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a final 4 year for Kentucky, yes or no?
Oh, God, it's so hard to say with they have so many unknowns. I know your show's called Bottom Line, but
Reaver, you're never coming back on this show again.
I'll say no, it's not a final 4 year, but just based on what? We don't know anything about E.J. Montgomery. Nick Richards has shown nothing. Ashton Hagans has shown that he can't shoot. Emmanuel Quickley was streaky. You got some great talented players, so we hear. You know, you don't know how they're going to perform once they get out there. Johnny Juzang. I mean, Tyler Hero was like the same number ranked recruit as Johnny Juzang. Nobody thought that Tyler Hero was going to be able to be a lottery pick. So you just don't know what's going. But Nick Richards was a McDonald's All-American.
But Tyler Hero was the next Larry Bird. That's all I hear last summer. That's all I heard. Was it the fact that he was white? I don't know. Somebody get on the phone with that one. Somebody give me some info. I heard last summer.
It's just when it comes to these new players, it's so unpredictable when it comes to brand new players. So
the answer is no.
Yeah, the answer is no. If I were going to pick my final four and you made me put money on it, I would put Michigan State in there before I would put Kentucky, just based on what they've got, what we know. Based on what? based on these things.
I appreciate that, and that's a good answer for once here on this show from you, Dan Reefer, because my follow-up is, are they going to win it? Because I assumed you would have said, oh, yes, of course they're going to win it. So then, yeah, of course they're going to make the Final Four. You're crazy. So very good. Bottom line on UK basketball this year, Kentucky, we don't know what to expect. Don't show up for the Cupcake 7 games, and do not make your reservations for the Final Four come March.
Every year, they're ranked preseason top five. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Even the year they didn't make the tournament, they lost to Robert Morris, they were third preseason.
And in all of those years, won national championship, got back to the Final Four in 2015. 2014. I guess they got there again. But, you know, since then, 16, 17, 18, 19. So, to me, I've just not seen that this thing has worked to be Final Four national championship recently, so I can't, based on that. That's why I can't say.
I still remember that undefeated season and how Calipari lost that game against Wisconsin.
Yes.
I'm sorry. When you're Goliath, you play like Goliath. You don't play like David. You were the better team.
That, again, I can't believe I didn't bring that up when we were talking about the disappointments, is how do you allow three consecutive shot clock violations? You can't. You cannot allow – if you allow three straight shot clock violations, it's on you. It's on the coach.
Cal blew it.
Yes, absolutely.
That year, Cal blew it.
Yes.
Absolutely. So the bottom line, Kentucky will not make the Final Four, and Dan Reefer has lost a friend in John Calipari after admitting that he blew the 2015 undefeated season.
He knows he blew it. I don't have to tell him that. He knows it.
Okay, we're on with the great Dan Reefer. Sports gambling. You've seemed to shake your head every time I brought up point spreads and things of the like. Sports gambling is going to be passed in Kentucky next year. That's what all the geniuses in Frankfurt are saying.
Right.
You probably know as much as I do about this. I don't know. But word on the street is it's going to be legal here next year sometime. Is that going to change the way you look at sports or the way you report on sports?
It won't change the way I look at it, I don't think, too much. And I've always kind of tried to include the line anyway. Like, on Friday nights on our high school show, the last segment we do is just talk about a minute about the next day's UK football or basketball game. And I almost always bring up the line because I think it's important to know what those people think about this game. It tells you a little something. It gives you some insight and kind of cuts through all the BS, because you can say and think whatever you want to think, but when it's all about money, then that cuts right through, right to the heart of it.
And these people can say anything they want. There's not one coach, there's not one player that runs out on that field that doesn't know whether they're favored or the underdog at Las Vegas. You can sit there and placate it all you want to. There's not one player on that field, one person on that field, that doesn't know, hey, we're supposed to win this game by so many points.
I will say that one thing it will do is it will change the landscape of the media. It will change how it's covered a little bit.
It's already doing that.
Yeah, I think.
Nationally, yes.
I think that you'll be seeing, more potential local shows on it. I probably pop up in Tennessee and Indiana. ESPN has already dedicated a half hour to it. You saw TNT and their NBA Finals coverage. They popped off to Vegas and had two people just talk about the gambling aspect of it. The folks who are starting the Marquee Network, which is the Chicago Cubs exclusive network that begins next year, they've already been talking about the concept of having two separate broadcasts. One that's the regular game, same feed, but the two different broadcasters who talk up the angles as far as the betting goes. Potentially, you could be looking at...
I'm literally bringing up on my phone the Vegas Sports Information Network.
Yeah.
That is 24/7 gambling talk, literally, from the South Point Casino in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So to say I have a subscription to this... Yes, I do. Now, do I watch and listen to this a lot? Yes, I do. You know why? Because they're talking about stuff I'm interested in.
Right.
Let's just face facts. People who listen to sports talk radio now, it's all about, can I get some information that might help me pick a game? Whether it's, you know, Johnny Vegas, who's trying to bet on the first half Big Sky Conference games, or whether it's Marge in accounting filling out her bracket in March, we're all picking games. And we're all looking for information that we can use to help us pick those games. Sports talk radio now, let's just face it, Unless it's a fan-based show, like, you know, shows about, you know, certain schools or whatever, certain teams. Sports talk radio listeners, a lot of them are sports gamblers.
Yeah.
So that's the people you've got to placate to now if you're in sports talk radio, people who are putting a couple dollars on these games.
Well, I think it'll come to the mainstream light just a little bit more. It'll be out there. Well, you got the Vegas Sports Information Network. Well, that's clearly you're subscribing to that because that is one of your interests. But as far as some people who don't, you know, wager, don't subscribe to the Vegas Sports Information
Network. It's the first app that's not that's on my phone that I put on my phone that wasn't one that came with the phone. So there you go. Yeah.
But I think especially in Kentucky where it's not frowned upon to gamble on horse racing. It's not seen as something like, I mean, kids take field trips to Keeneland. I mean, it's not seen as this.
Then why don't we have sports gambling? If we could, and the lottery, I heard the lottery is going to be the end of times when it came around when I was a kid. Oh, well, it's been 30 years or whatever.
Now, there's still enough lobbyists out there to stop it. But when you see West Virginia and Indiana and Tennessee do it, Kentucky is going to follow suit. And when they do, I think it'll definitely bring along more people that show interest in it because it's legal. It's just the concept of illegal versus legal. Just that idea right there will bring other people along and allow it to be more of a mainstream thing.
But let's just face facts. If I want some action on a game,
well, you can get it.
I can call a guy.
Right.
I can point and click my way to anything I want to in this world, basically. So if I really want action on a game, there's nothing stopping me to get action on a game.
If you really want to smoke a joint, you can go find some marijuana somewhere, I'm sure, around here and smoke a joint, but it's illegal still. If you go Illinois.
If they get me, they're going to have to get a whole lot of other people, too, and those prisons are going to be really full.
Right. But it's just a thought. Once again, if they legalized recreational use of marijuana in Illinois. So now it's going to be seen a little bit differently. It's going to be seen in a different light that society is, you know, changing its mind a little bit about it. As long as you put the illegal next to it, it's still just something in the mind. People who don't interact with it at all. Somebody who's never going to smoke marijuana, somebody who's never going to sports gamble. Once it becomes legal, it's like something's telling them, oh, well, it must be not that bad if the rest of society is saying it's okay.
For somebody like me, the opportunity that I see is I'm going to get a little bit more value if I want to bet against the home team. Let's say, for example, Kentucky's playing Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And in basketball, Kentucky's at home. Kentucky's a 10-point favorite, you know, out in Vegas, global markets. But you go down here in Keeneland, they got a sports book.
Yeah.
Who's everybody betting on down here at Keeneland? Of course, they're all betting on Kentucky.
Right.
Everybody's betting on Kentucky. Everybody's got their mobile apps. They're punching up on Kentucky. Everybody walks into Rupp Arena. I'm going to bet on Kentucky.
Right.
So now they have here locally, the line goes up because they got it. You know, they got 99% action on Kentucky.
Right.
So we got to move that line. So now you're sitting there at 11.5, 12. Somebody like me, we're sitting here at the Christian Broadcasting Studios. I'll bet on the devil himself against Jesus Christ if I know he's going to cover the spread. I have two loyalties in this.
I'm moving away from the table at the moment.
Well, we are at the Christian Broadcasting Studios.
There are no storm clouds overhead, are there? It's a clear day.
I have two loyalties in this world. My girlfriend and my bankroll. I could bet with you one day and bet against you the next day and not blink an eye. And if you want to make money in that business, that's how you got to be. So if I'm going to find extra value, 2 points in value on Kentucky, yeah, bring on legalized gambling. Because now instead of getting Georgia plus 10, I got him plus 12 because I'm betting against everybody sitting down there at Keeneland.
Yeah, that's a great point. I hadn't really thought about how it affects the line locally, but it's going to do that with Tennessee football. It's going to do that with West Virginia basketball and football. I mean, Indiana, Purdue.
It opens up opportunities to get extra value.
Mm-hmm.
And believe me, you got to hit 52.38% to break even.
Yeah.
There's a fine line between 53% and 52%.
Right.
And I speak from experience on that on both sides of the aisle, if you know what I mean. We've all been there, good and bad. It happens to all of us. So you said that you always, well, I want to say you always mentioned it.
Most of the time, if we have time, we mention what the spread is for the Kentucky game the night before.
As someone involved in the sports media, do you ever notice fans maybe coming up to you? Hey, have you heard this Terry Wilson injury? Hey, have you heard this? Do you have any background information? Do you have the inside skinny and scoop that can help me call my man and make a couple dollars this weekend?
Hey, we definitely have heard some of those questions. And not always upfront about why I want to know it. But yeah, I've definitely heard some of those questions. There's no doubt about it that people do listen to sports talk to see if they can get any kind of edge, any kind of angle, any kind of feel. I remember I would go to games at Rupp Arena when I was covering them on a regular basis, and I would ask a few things of some of my colleagues to find something out. Because some people know a little bit more than others. Some people that you see at the game in the media area may have or have not attended practice, may have or may not know, a source has said this or that.
Are you breaking news that you have used inside information to place bets, Dan Reefer? And if that is the case...
I have never done that.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Proceed. I'm sorry.
It didn't make me rich. I can tell you that.
Oh, it didn't?
But yes, that's always the angle that you're looking for. You're looking for some kind of little edge that you could find. And it's definitely out there. And that's another way that legalizing sports gambling in the state could change. My source says, sources tell me, and that information becomes more and more valuable.
Back in the 70s, when the NFL Today, remember the old NFL Today?
Yeah.
Jimmy the Greek.
Right.
People would watch that show for 22 minutes.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy the Greek would come on at the end. And everybody would just say, shh, shh, we got to listen to what Jimmy the Greek said. Even if you're not betting on the games, everybody had to hear what Jimmy the Greek was saying. This country hasn't changed since then. We're still big-time gamblers.
Yeah.
It has become more of kind of, I don't want to say accepted commonly, but I mean, it's just now we're in a country where everybody gambles. And it's just a matter of time before it's legal everywhere. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to it just for the value and to have another option. Like we were saying, we were already getting our action down if you want your action. Let's just face it.
Well, it's just so much fun that you wouldn't have to travel to Las Vegas to go to a place, a sports bar, where you've got the games on all the TVs and a little device or an app or something right there where you can decide how you're going to go. And then to be in that community of people that have those emotional swings back and forth the plays.
I've been to Las Vegas 12 times for the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And I haven't been a few years now because I moved back here for family, blah, blah, blah. Now I think of it, now that it's going to be legalized everywhere, do I really need to go to Vegas to have that experience of sitting in the sports book? I mean, I could have gotten action down without going to Vegas, but it was just the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because that is the biggest weekend in Vegas. And we would take flights from Atlanta nonstop to Vegas.
Yeah.
And there's 40 guys in that plane. We're all talking about, we're going to take this team to cover. Oh, I got inside info on this team. Oh, I'm taking this team and the points. By the time we landed, we all had traded information on all these basketball games we're going to bet because everybody's in a good mood. Yeah, go to that Vegas airport. You can tell who's coming into town and who's leaving town. That's not even a problem. Yeah, and who won and who lost in town. But, I mean, I don't think we're going to be to a point where that's even going to matter anymore because, going to Vegas is going to be so cliche for that week. Although I've been there so many times and I loved it out there every time except when I lost, but that's another story, which was quite a few times. But I just think we're getting to the point it's not even going to be worth going out there for that weekend now because it's just run its course.
Yeah, you're going to have these places pop up. I mean, I can't lie. I've thought about, gosh, how great would it be to be able to start up a sports bar right now and get the sports book and be ready for it as soon as they legalize it.
Oh, I've thought about that many times.
To be ready to go when that thing hits. It's gonna hurt the feelings of a lot of bookies in a lot of counties. Let me tell you, Eastern Kentucky, they bet on the Sweet 16 over there. You could go some places and find lines on high school games.
I entered a contest when I was a kid. In rural Madison County, right next to Estill County.
Yeah.
You picked the Sweet 16 teams. You picked the winner of every region. And all we had to go by was Mike Fields and the Lexington Herald Leader and those, what are they called? Cantrell computer rankings and whatever the Courier Journal had. That's all any of us had. But that's what we'd go on and we'd bet on, we'd enter this pool, pick the 16 Sweet 16 teams.
Right.
And that's how life was in the 80s. You're just looking for any sport to gamble on.
In high school, I would get a paper bag and put 16 teams in it that were in the Sweet 16 and you paid $2 or $3 for that.
I ran a couple of bracket pools at Madison Central High School that I may or may not have. That's another story for another day. We don't have to talk about that right now. But bottom line on sports gambling, Dan Reefer has already started a new bank account to hide from his family so that he can hide the action that he's going to put once it's legal to bet on sports here in Kentucky. Major League Baseball with Dan Reefer. You like baseball?
Love baseball.
We had Keith Farmer in here back during horse racing season. He said, I go, hey, let's talk about baseball. He goes, nah, I don't want to talk about it. I go, why not? it's too boring. We don't talk about it on my sports cast, so I don't need to talk about it on this show. I go, well, thanks for nothing. What are we going to talk about then? I mean, it's baseball season.
Yeah.
You're a Cubs fan.
I am.
How did that happen? Cubs fan.
Well, I was born in Illinois. That's where I grew up for the first, like, oh, I guess till I was about eight. And so just long enough to form an affinity for the Chicago Bears, the Bulls, the Blackhawks, and the Cubs. But it started 5 years old. I went to Wrigley Field. That was my first any pro sports event.
Was Lee Elia talking about you? Google that, kids. You'll see it. You'll rant. You don't know what I'm talking about?
No.
Well, you need to Google a Lee Elia rant, who was the former manager of the Cubs, early 80s. He was very upset at the fans, basically cursed them out and said, 85% of the world has a job. The other 50% come out here. And you need to look it up. I'll just put it that way. But you're a big Cubs fan.
Yeah.
I honestly fell in love with the Cubs in 1984.
Yeah.
Their mm-hmm. first season they had won in forever.
Right.
My mom, and she would kill me. If I put this on terrestrial radio, she'd kill me because she swore to me never to discuss this. 1984, she's a school teacher. So we had the same off days.
Yeah, right.
Same vacation. I had the bowl haircut that every kid around here had.
Right.
She goes, you're going to get a perm. Because she had seen kids. She was a teacher. She had seen other boys get a perm. You know, that was the thing, I think, earlier than that. But I'm going to get a perm. And I cried and begged, no, don't do this to me. You're ruining my life.
Right.
So she makes me, first week we're out of school, go get a perm. And I'm bald.
At least it was summertime.
Yeah, and I'm so bald now, I blame her for being bald. That's another story. I come home, my dad sees me and laughs hysterically.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my summer's ruined. So what am I going to do all summer? I work on the farm in the mornings and at night, but in the afternoon, we don't do a whole lot because it's too hot.
Yeah.
So we can't work through all the... So what am I going to do? I watch the Cubs every afternoon.
Right.
And then you watch Harry Carey.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, you fall in love with this team because Harry Carey's drunk every day. Right. And they're winning and they're playing in the middle of the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike the Reds, you can't watch them back.
Right.
Because back then in the 80s, you got some road games and that was pretty much it. You got to see maybe 30, 40 games a year, whereas at the Cubs, you get 162.
Yeah.
So now I watch the Cubs every day. I fall in love with them. I can still tell you the whole lineup from the game one of the 1984 NLCS. I mean, we're not going to say it, you know, Dernier, Sandberg. You know, I could go down the line.
Well, and then they didn't have lights for years. So
right.
They were on in the afternoon when you got home from school or in the afternoon in the summertime, WGN. I watched them religiously.
So you're a Cubs fan. You think they're going to win this year?
They've got a few issues that they got to work out. That's a tight race. I'm not scared of the Reds anymore. The Reds, for a little while, made me think, oh, they're going to put something together. But
they're
not going to.
The Reds have to sell.
The Pirates are dying. They're not going to be in the hunt. You always got to be worried about the Cardinals and the Brewers. Those two right there are threats. But I do like that Yu Darvish has, you know, come along a little bit more. I still like Kyle Hendricks and John Lester. Huh?
We're taping this. Darvish is pitching against Bumgarner tonight out in San Francisco. Yeah.
Hopefully the MLB Network will have that one for us. But, I love the – how could you not like the Kyle Schwarber, Javi Baez, Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras?
There's a lot of people that don't like them.
There's a lot
of Reds fans that don't like them.
That is just a great lineup to have. Of course, they didn't hit last year in the postseason. That was huge that they couldn't – that offense could not get going. But they seem to address it. They seem to say that was our problem. We recognize that problem. We're going to do things a little bit differently. I read an article about how they approaching the hitting a little differently this season to generate more runs. They blew it last night, didn't they? It was 3-0, and then I went to bed. And then
if they don't get bullpen help, Kimbrel
right.
and Strope is not how you want to close out games at the postseason. Kimbrel does not have it anymore.
Yeah.
And Theo regrets Darvish. And I guarantee he regrets Jason Hayward, that contract.
Yeah.
He can't hit. But, I mean, he's having a decent year this year, but, I mean, he has done.
I hate the Hayward contract. Absolutely hate it.
But the Reds, 5% chance of making the playoffs as of this taping. Why aren't they selling these free agents? Yasiel Puig, Tanner Roark. You could get something for these two guys. Scooter Gennett, somebody will take them off your hands for a bucket of balls. Why are they still playing for the Reds right now?
I don't know. I think that the Reds must have thought that this was their future anyway. This was their future instead of going younger. Is the Puig's their future? I mean, Eugenio Suarez is a solid core. That Joey Votto. Why are you holding on to Joey Votto? Clearly, he's passed.
Oh, you can't. Wait, who's going to take Joey Votto in that contract? Who's going to take it? Hall of Famer, Joey Votto, yes or no?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't lead the league in on-base percentage seven times
and
have the career he's had and not be a Hall of Famer. Regardless of what Marty Brenneman says, who absolutely hates Joey Votto, I've got all kinds of sound bites where he's just killing Joey Votto for being a whatever. Oh, he makes all this money. Why doesn't he drive in more runs? Well, maybe it's because nobody gets on base in front of him.
Right.
And then Brandon Phillips, a few years ago, hit 261 but had 108 RBIs. Why is that? Because he hit third behind Shin-Soo Chu, second in the league in on-base percentage, and Joey Votto, first in the league in on-base percentage. So that's just logic. That's just number of chances. Mm-hmm. That's not that Brandon Phillips had such a great year. He had 261, but he had 108 RBIs. Well, he had a lot more chances than everybody else, too.
Yeah. Now, Joey Votto has been a model of consistency. I mean, year after year. This has not been, obviously, a good year for him.
No.
But up until this point, he has been, I don't want to go Pete Rose, but he's the hits that he's had, I mean, he has been the rock for them year after year. Todd Frazier came and gone. Brandon Phillips, all these guys in and out, come and gone. Votto's been the rock all the way through. It reminds me a little bit of like a Mark Grace for the Cubs.
No. I would never say that.
With the batting average and the consistency at the plate.
Joey Votto's 10 times better than Mark Grace. I don't care what you say. That we could argue old school Cubs and Reds all day long. But I don't think there's been a more underappreciated baseball player in this century than Joey Votto. And if he played at Boston, if he played in New York, he would. They would love him.
He'd be a Wade Boggs or a Don Mattingly.
Well, if he could hit off that green monster, because he always hit the opposite field. But so the Reds, you don't think they're going to make a playoff run?
No, not
Jeff Drummond sat here at the All-Star break and swore up and down. He goes, make sure you take the Reds to make the playoffs. They're going to make a run.
Well, the pitching has been there, and that you would think that it's kind of like the Mets have had the great pitching that they've had and not been able to put it together.
Yeah, if you had told me before the season started you'd have two starting pitchers in the All-Star game, I'd be like, this team's in first place running away with things because look at all these hitters they've got.
And I thought Iglesias would be better. He blew another one last night.
Why not package him in these deals for Puig?
That's a guy you should deal right there.
What's his value right now?
But Puig is still selling tickets, too. I mean, that's got to be a concern of management as well.
Is he, though?
The front office.
I saw the games against the Cardinals. I didn't see a whole lot of butts in those seats, and that's the Cardinals.
I go off of, I guess, just what I've seen, the kind of affinity for him and the fans kind of getting behind him. I think I saw somebody the other day just say he's starting to become one of my favorite Reds. And
starting to be gone out of town in about 10 days, too.
Yeah, he could be, but, you know, I don't know what their numbers are, you know, as far as attendance goes. And that has to be a concern of the Castellini family, is just a little bit of what that money's going to be. If you sell now, then
Fans are going to stop coming.
Yeah,
it's not like they're going to come in droves anyway. I mean, Yasiel Puig is not going to be a difference in, 2,000 attendance every night.
So. And the Reds are, what, like 6.5 games out maybe now? Nine now. Yes. See, it's gone.
The only team dropped with fewer wins in the National League is the Marlins.
Yeah.
No other team in the National League has fewer wins than the Reds. You've got to sell. I'm sorry.
Well, I think you do have to, but if they don't, I think it's because they must believe in those guys that they acquired being the future, that they just do, I guess, a reset next season. But how do you have the pitching that you have and just not put it together?
It's unbelievable. If you told me before the year started you had this kind of pitching, I would have said playoffs easy.
You know, I do watch MLB Network, and I do keep up with the Cubs, but to be honest with you, I don't watch a ton of Reds, and one of the biggest reasons is I cannot listen to Tom Brenneman and Chris Welsh. I just cannot handle them. They drive me nuts. They will say
Marty's
something.
Marty's leaving. You should be happy, Marty. You can listen to the radio next year. Marty's leaving.
Well, Jim Day does an excellent job. I can handle Jim Day. He is to the point where when Chris Welsh gets too homery, Jim Day will make the play devil's advocate and make the counterpoint. And it at least lets me know that he recognizes what's going on next to him in the booth. Many times I will try to watch it, and then I suffered through the Cubs series with Chris Welsh, but thank goodness that Jim Day was doing the play-by-play. At one point, there was a play where Dietrich is coming up to make a play at second base on a ball that's hit, and Anthony Rizzo is at first and going to second. And Rizzo kind of hesitates to try to avoid the ball, but then eventually goes on to the base. And Dietrich without question, is baiting Rizzo into an interference call. And he gets it.
I know the play you're talking about.
And Chris Welsh's rationalization for it is that Derek Dietrich clearly knows the rules of baseball and Anthony Rizzo doesn't. Give me a break. Anthony Rizzo doesn't know the rules of baseball, and that's why he got called the interference.
Obviously, you didn't watch the Braves in the 80s and 90s, did you? You're talking to a former season ticket holder, well, shared with five other people, Brave season tickets.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, those are the only games now I'll go to, baseball games. I mean, I don't want to fight all that stuff at football or basketball or anything like that. I'll go to a baseball game because there's no pressure. And there's, you know, they play 162 of them.
Yeah.
We had, you know, at Turner Field, you know, my friends and I, we shared season tickets. First row, left field. You know, nobody bothered us. I mean, there's a lot of days, you know, you just, they're sitting out there. There's only a few people out there. My friend would always bring a glove, which I'd kill him for. I'm like, why are you bringing a glove? But I mean, you know, but it's much more relaxed. I always went to those businessman specials. Those are my favorites.
Oh, yeah.
The weekday afternoon games, I'm like, the only tickets I want, we would have a fantasy draft when the schedule would come out, which tickets we would, you know, what games we want.
Right, yeah.
I said, just give me the weekday afternoon games and you guys can have the rest. And, you know, but I mean, baseball is just such, it's a dying sport.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at 50, 60 years ago, what were the biggest sports? Baseball, horse racing, boxing. They're all dying. If they're not, you know, literally in horse racing, no pun intended.
Mm.
But I'm just saying, the sports, it's all about football and basketball now.
Yeah, and I've heard some of the analysts talk about that baseball is dying because there's not enough action anymore, that it's all about the home run, and then the pitching has gotten so great. So many guys strike out, so there's not players on the base pass, and that's not it. It's society has changed, and baseball is a slow-moving sport, and it doesn't have that kind of action, and it doesn't have the star power. Like, you know, Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. Does he come anywhere close to the star power of LeBron James or a Tom Brady or even a Patrick Mahomes who's just now become a star? There's not anybody in baseball that I can think of with the kind of star power that even the lesser stars of the NFL or the NBA has. And it's because 162-game schedule, everyday kind of baseball, slower game. It's just a fact of our society has changed and it just kind of faded into the backdrop of the landscape. I mean, soccer may surpass it in coming years in popularity. I mean, UFC, I mean, you take the comparison between what UFC gives you and what baseball gives you. I mean, it's a stark contrast in what we value in entertainment and sports.
Mike Tyson fights used to be events.
Yeah.
You used to get together with your friends,
right,
pony up the money to share the pay-per-view
Absolutely.
Money, and sit there all night and watch Mike Tyson for, you know, however short a time he fought.
Couldn't have been more upset than when he bit the ear, because I had paid, you know, $20 to get in that fight and to someone's house to watch the fight, and it was over like that.
Well, Holyfield's is from Atlanta, so I have a little proxy to him. Bottom line for us, if I gave you Dodgers and Yankees, you gave me everybody else, how would you feel?
Dodgers and Yankees. Now, I like what the American League has to offer in Houston. And
if I throw in Houston, then I'll give you those three.
If you throw in Houston, yeah, I like that because I don't know that anybody's going to knock off the Dodgers in the National League. The Dodgers are so deep. They just have
not even your beloved Cubs.
Not even my beloved Cubs. Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers have it in the starters, in the middle relief, in the bullpen. They've got guys sitting on the bench that would be starting for other teams, you know, and that hitters and position players. But I love the Astros. The Astros, the Yankees. You know, forget about the Twins or the Indians. I mean, that's not happening. But and Boston's not going to – they're not going to make a postseason run. I don't see that either. But the Yankees are loaded, obviously, and I love Houston as well. So one of those teams is your World Series champion.
Bottom line from Dan Reefer, Dodgers, Astros, Yankees, play those in your futures and don't worry about anybody else. All right, we've held Dan Reefer here for 2 hours. This year, ending up on part two of this podcast. We might have to put it into four parts, but we'll put two in this. Dan Reefer, we thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is the first time that you have come into the Bottom Line den here at Christian Broadcasting.
Yes.
And we appreciate your time so much. Tell us how we can find you on social media and all of your outlets where we can see you on television for the coming football season.
Well, on Twitter, it's at DRIEFFER. I get a little bit more active as the season gets going on Twitter, on social media. And then Friday night, starting in just a few weeks, August 23rd, 10:40 on Fox 56, we do the High School Sports Extra. We have a great time doing the high school football highlights. And then a new show that same weekend, August 25th, we're debuting a show at 10:30. Sunday nights on Fox 56 called Out of Bounds. Maria Montgomery hosts. Her sidekicks are yours truly and Derek Johnson, Dennis Johnson's brother. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to focus mainly on UK sports and UK football. Throw some other college football stuff in there. We're just going to have fun with it, and it should be a good time. We're excited about it. We're looking forward to it.
Dan Reefer, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate you playing along with us and some of our silliness. Usually we get into more silliness, but you had so much good information that we just let you go with the information instead of being silly. But seriously, we thank you so much for your time today and doing almost 2 hours of podcasting with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I loved it.
Thank you.
And that does it for part two of our podcast with Dan Reefer. Don't forget to tune in to his football shows coming this fall, starting in late August, August 23rd, on Fox 56. And make sure to follow him at Dan Reefer, DRIEFFER, on Twitter. And don't forget to follow us while you're at it, at Bottom Line Lex. Again, our thanks to the great Dan Reefer. And until next time, as always, may the winners be yours.
Listen, good luck. Cashing tickets is what it's all about. So long, everybody.